College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. You can join their team today. You can go to Twitter and vote on our Drink Surfside poll of the day. Does it rankle you that Terry McLaurin, Laramie Tunsil, and Marshawn Lattimore skipped the first day of voluntary OTAs? Apparently, it's not a big deal to the listeners. 37% said yes, they should be there. Over 62% now. No, not a big deal.
I'm unrankled, Cakes. You seem rankled by Lattimore.
I'm partially rankled.
I'm unrankled.
That's where I'm at at this point. You can go vote at Junks Radio on that poll. All right, so we have some audio of Cliff Kingsbury, the OC of the Washington Commanders. He's not a guy that loves the media and loves getting up and talking. He basically does it when he's forced to. Here's him talking about trying to balance out players' egos and touches with all of the new influx at the wide receiver spot and the skill position spots for the Commanders.
Yeah, I've never had a great player that didn't want the ball, and so that kind of comes with the territory. But that's one thing I think that DQ has created where it's, the team above anything else. And these guys that had their success last year and got their touches, they know bringing Debo in, there's going to be less, but we're going to be better. And I think when they're able to sacrifice for that and understand that the ultimate goal is winning, then, you know, it all works itself out. But you want those guys. I mean, they're going to be pissed. I'll get cussed out a few games, but it just comes with the territory. You'd rather have really good players cussing you out than bad players cussing you out. So
now they do have a decent number of vacated targets that are no longer on the roster. Guys like Oz, I mean, he had 45 receptions last year. Deami Brown departs. He signs that deal with Jacksonville. He had 30 grabs, by far his most. But a lot of those will get vacuumed up by Debo Samuel.
Oh,
like, he's going to get a lot of those touches. But, I mean, there's still room, obviously, for Noah Brown to get some. He got re-signed. Luke McCaffrey should have a bigger, more expanded role. Hopefully Austin Eckler doesn't get dinged up and he can play 15 plus games in 2025. He'll catch a decent number of balls. Like, there's a lot of guys to spread the ball around to in this offense.
Absolutely. Now, you would hope that the tight end position is
Sinnott. I didn't mention
steady,
him.
Steady, you know, because Zach's back for another year. Vet, but they did draft Sinnott in the second round last year, so they're hoping he can kind of take that next step.
If Zach Ertz doesn't get injured, I mean, I would expect, I mean, he had 66 grabs last year. Yeah. Like,
he'll be in that same range.
I would expect right around the same number, if not more.
But Debo's going to put up numbers. If he's healthy and plays the majority of the year, he's going to put up numbers. He's a weapon.
Oz was the second leading receiver, OZ, last season with 45 catches. In terms of receivers, Ertz, of course, had 66 catches, which you mentioned, and McLaurin led the way. But OZ had 45 catches. Noah Brown had 35. Deami had 30.
You
McCaffrey
mentioned,
had 18. I think you're just going to see, instead of that big share with four receivers, it's going to be Debo taking a lot of those.
And as far as Debo, like, I think he's going to take carries away. I would hope they're primarily away from Jaden Daniels. Like, I don't think Dan Quinn and Cliff want him carrying the ball 148 times again.
I don't know if they have a problem with it.
But I think
has three or four. Maybe a little bit, but has Lamar Jackson's rushing gone down over the years dramatically?
Not dramatically. I mean, there's some games where he runs and it's part of the game plan.
Yeah.
He's limited taking off from the pocket. He kind of scrambles to look downfield.
I wouldn't limit.
I'm not saying take a big chunk away, but like a carry or two per game. I would think Cliff would be cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, limiting the hits, limiting his exposure to the violent collisions. Now, I know he's been pretty good about avoiding those for the most part, but I might want to get those carries down to around 130 for Jaden Daniels. That's part of the reason you acquire Deebo Samuel. He has that
right because he can give and he's built where he can handle the hits. But, yeah, he can give you three or four a game.
Right. But when they started winning down the stretch, mm-hmm. after they had that three-game losing streak, and EB said, let Jaden cook, that's kind of what they did. Mm-hmm. He was the leading rusher, Jaden Daniels, in weeks 15, 16, and 17.
Right.
Now, that's not what you want. You want Brian Robinson or Austin Eckler or whoever you have in the backfield leading the way rushing. But the reality is their leading rusher actually in the last four games was the quarterback because right. Mariota was the leading rusher in the final game of the season. Mm-hmm. So I just don't necessarily limit him. And looking at Lamar Jackson's career, now he's had injuries which have changed total numbers of game played, but as a rookie, he in 16 games, he ran it 147 times. Last year in 17 games, he ran it 139 times. It's very similar.
Yeah.
And I think that that's part of what makes Lamar Jackson great.
Right.
And part of what makes Jaden Daniels great is that ability to run. I wouldn't take it away. I get what you're saying, that Debo's going to get some runs. But what did Debo get? 40 runs or so? Did he even get 40 last year?
Well, last year he was banged up.
But he was banged up. In a healthy year, he can get, you know, that's a totally different offense, but he could get like 60.
Right.
Okay.
60 to 65.
Three or four a game?
Correct.
Yeah. I don't necessarily take him away from Jaden.
Here's the other thing about Debo. We were talking about McLaurin, mm-hmm. you know, holding out for a contract.
Yeah.
Debo is playing for a contract.
Yeah. He needs to put up numbers.
Correct. He needs to stay healthy and put up numbers. He's only been in the league 6 years.
Right.
He's not done. He wants another 3 or 4 year deal, so he needs to put up numbers, and he knows it.
In last year's offense, they were able to spread it out, and I think they will do so again. I'm more amazed at how deep Cliff Kingsbury's voice is.
He does have a deep, booming voice. I'm mm-hmm. jealous. I have a nasally, terrible voice, and his is just touched by God.
Well, there's a deep voice screaming into my ear. You're an idiot for taking Tony Finau twice. You're stupid.
God. You're going to be thinking about that the entire weekend.
Valdez, you have no idea
how that massive life tilt.
How that ruins my weekend.
Yeah, but hold on. JP's wrong about the Lamar stuff because in 2018, he started only seven games. And he rushed for 100, or he carried the ball 147 times. So it's definitely gone down.
All right, but year two, when he was starting at 176, so it's come down a little bit. But yeah. I wouldn't say a ton. Yeah. I go back to like what you said before, and maybe a tiny bit.
In
seven games he rushed 147 times.
From the rookie season, sure.
In 15 games he rushed 176 times the following year.
Right. It was less carries per game.
Your workload is definitely a lot less.
And again, I'm not saying that I want Jaden Daniels to go from 148 carries to even 120 carries. I'm saying just like one or one and a half less carries per game. It doesn't have to be a lot. Like they know that they need to lean into his running because he's special at it.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a really good passer too, but they know that this guy could rush for 1,000 yards if we unleash them. They're not gonna turn their back on that sort of threat, especially down near the goal line where he's borderline unstoppable. I'm just saying bring the 148 down to bring it down to 135. Can we do that?
That's fine.
Sure.
Less than one carry per game. That's not outrageous. I mean, you have a stable of guys you can hand it off to now with B-Rob, Eckler, Debo, the seventh round draft pick, who I always forget his name, out of Arizona.
But again, a lot of these kids have to stay healthy.
Right.
And running backs don't stay healthy.
I understand. You're churning through a lot of bodies.
So you're going to see. And again, it's Jaden getting rushed, forced out of the pocket and deciding to run.
Right.
That's totally different than a planned design run play.
Yeah. And look.
So maybe the design plays, you see them cut back a little bit because you got Debo and hopefully a healthy B-Rob. But he's still going to get out of the pocket and run.
I understand why they want Jaden running it. He averaged 6 yards per carry and B-Rob averaged 4.3.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I understand why they want him tucking the ball and running. It makes sense. It helps their offense. Immeasurably.
Yeah, I mean, think about their fourth down percentage last year. Number one in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they put Jaden under center, yep. and then he'd run out wide and make a play. Their fourth down conversion percentage
it was absurd. Yeah. And I would expect it to still be high this year with Jaden doing more of the same. Why would you go away from something that actually works for your offense?
What I wonder about, and Cliff didn't necessarily speak on this specifically, he's talking about guys who want the ball, is how the running back situation is going to work out.
Right.
Brian Robinson last year started off pretty good, but his production really tailed off. Now, he had injuries, but at the end of the season, like I said, the quarterback was leading the way in rushing in the last four games. They wanted to run the football, mm-hmm. couldn't do it.
Well, maybe you see the seventh round draft pick get some time if he makes the squad. JCM.
Oh, I think he's going to make the squad.
If he does, then maybe you see him take some carries away from B-Rob.
The reason he fell is because he only played one game at Arizona as a senior.
But, you know, we'll see. But I would agree with you. I was kind of surprised they didn't take a running back a little bit earlier in the draft, and they waited till the seventh, but they loved him in the seventh.
All right, I will say this. I'm going to make this declaration.
Here comes an over.
No, I'm just – if Ben Sinnott, okay, if he doesn't go from five catches to at least – this is a big ask.
25?
Yes, to 5X his production. He better have 25 catches as a second-year player. Or yeah,
he might be looking for a new team.
Then the crosshairs are squarely not only on him. Then you start looking at Adam Peters. Like, all right, why did you burn a second round pick on a guy who's catching 15 balls?
Yeah,
am I wrong?
No, I agree. I think he needs to do something, or he might be looking for a new team next year.
And 25. Sorry, it's a little light. I'm coming in. On
yeah,
the
but
low
Ertz is gonna, like you said, Ertz is gonna get the majority of the reps.
As he should. He's an established vet who way out.
But let's just say Ertz gets banged up and misses 10 games.
Right.
Well, Sinnott better put up some numbers.
And I'm also fine with John Bates having this in his receptions column, a zero. I understand he's valued. He signed an extension. Please just let him block all the time. I know he loves John Bates for some reason. He's fine with him catching the ball. Those balls should all go to Ben Sinnott and or Zach Ertz. If I'm consulting Cliff Kingsbury, which I would never do because he would not want my advice.
Well, you can teach him that play he used to run in flag football.
Fake wide receiver screen. It's a great play. It's a fantastic play. I don't know if we ever executed it perfectly, but the schematics of it, JP, are fantastic.
Yeah, I like
Maybe it. I'll send it his way.
Can you imagine how
I like it if I make my return to flag football?
Yeah.
I'm can you imagine how jacked up the Commanders fans / local media is going to be in, you know, late July, right before camp?
Can't wait.
I mean, they're going to be jacked.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. I mean, we all look forward to the NFL season, but right when the OTAs come up, that's when you start really thinking about it.
Yep. As you should. Football is not that far away. What are we, 98 days away now? 98 or 99
Something.
Days away from the
from opening.
I think it's 98.
From the
week
Thursday
one?
Thursday night game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's coming.
Cowboys-Eagles?
Cowboys at the Eagles. That's correct. Not that far off. See it off in the distance. All right, coming up in a bit, Matt Doherty is going to join us, former Carolina Tar Heels coach and Indiana Pacers scout. We'll talk NBA with him coming up at 8:25. You're always
college football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Call Us on an Open Line Thursday. 800-636-1067 is the number. OLT is presented by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors? Search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home because it's where you live, Ricky.
We had David Bernad on the show a couple months ago.
Yes.
One of the producers of White Lotus.
Yes.
He used to work on our show.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who writes White Lotus is a guy named Mike White.
Yes.
I believe David Bernad said he's a genius. Mm-hmm. And maybe he is. Super successful writer, producer, director in Hollywood. Did you know he was on Survivor?
I did know that he was
he's
on
boys
Survivor,
with Jeff
yes.
Probst.
Yep.
Valdez, are you aware that Mike White is coming back for season 50?
Yes, of course. You think I didn't? You think I wasn't?
A big Survivor mark.
You think I wasn't on pins and needles when Jeff was announcing all of the contestants for Survivor 50?
Oh, you were
yesterday.
You had your popcorn the whole night.
Yes. Cerie's gonna be on it. The mastermind, Jonathan, the Goliath in challenges. Joe from last season's gonna be on it. The winner, Kyle's gonna be on it with his right hand man, Camila.
You think people know all these names? Like, you're treating these people like they're Madonna and Prince. Like,
of course,
one
Survivor marks. One Survivor marks. Study these seasons inside and out.
What was the season that Mike White was part of?
It might have been the David versus Goliath.
Correct. Man, he was part of David versus Goliath and was runner up. I found it intriguing. Apparently, he's used a couple of castaways.
Oh, he has.
On White Lotus.
Really?
Yes.
Like, for speaking parts, or they're just randos sitting,
I don't know.
Sitting at a table while
Valdez, are you that deep into Survivor
no,
to
I
know,
don't know. I don't
who
know
he used
who he,
on White Lotus?
I don't know who he's casted or not casted.
He used Angelina and Christina. Maybe they were part of the David versus Goliath season. But yeah, it's big news in the Survivor world.
I've been out on Survivor for...
How many years now?
I think it's 50 like...
50 seasons.
50 seasons.
So, yeah, so 2 years.
It started right...
So that's a good run.
When we 25
years. 25 years. Yeah. Pretty good
run. It started when we were a nighttime show. I remember us talking about it back when Rudy was on it.
Yeah.
And I believe Rich won the first Survivor.
Yes, Richard won.
Yeah.
Then he went to jail for not...
Richard
tax
Hatch?
Evasion, I
Richard
believe.
Yes. Hatch?
Richard Hatch.
Yes. Okay, somehow I still remember that name.
Kelsey still watches it. Really? Any of your kids watch it?
No, they're so far out.
I don't think
out.
My daughters watch it.
They're as out as I was on being able to ID rappers that my son was playing on Spotify on the way home from the Metallica show last night. I mean,
so he
I,
had enough of the headbanging music. And was like, let's just, play rap.
No, my kids find it entertaining how out of touch I am musically with anything that's basically contemporary. Man, I'm the worst.
Yeah, my daughters listen to more music that I listen to.
Yeah.
As opposed to me listening to the music that they love.
Right.
I mean, I like some of those.
Well,
the
it's
artists.
Probably because you drive, so you control the radio.
No, I'm saying they have it on their Spotify. They listen to it. Like, they love Fleetwood Mac. My daughters love Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Eagles.
Like, am I really supposed to be able to identify who Don Toliver is?
Yeah.
Valdez, am I supposed to know that?
No.
Am I expected to know who that person is? Even though, side note, I did see him live because I took my kid to Echo Stage to see him when he was like probably 15 or 16 with all of his buddies. So I've seen that person live.
I don't even think he's as popular as A$AP Rocky, and I couldn't pull him.
Yeah, I couldn't give you one A$AP Rocky tune. If you gave me $1 billion, wouldn't be able to pull it. And I'm guessing our next guest wouldn't be able to either. He's on the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Say good morning to Matt Doherty, former Carolina Hoops coach. Other stops in there as well. Coach, thanks for joining us. We appreciate the time.
Oh, always good to be on with you guys and talking basketball.
Hey, Matt, real quick, if you had a walk-up song or a walk-up band before we had you on, what would it be? Just curious.
Good question.
It's Aloe Black, I think. You're the man, you're the man, you're the man, or I'm the man, I'm the man. Yeah, that one.
Oh, Rick Snyder tune. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's, very good.
It's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
yeah,
now, yeah. We'll remember
my alter ego.
We'll remember that. All right, just kind of give us your thoughts before we get into, you know, other stuff. Your thoughts on what the OKC Thunder are doing defensively to other teams in the 12 wins so far in the playoffs. I believe they've got six, it might be five. It's either five or six, 30 points or more victories. I mean, that's just an absurd number.
They are, first of all, you got to be committed. You know, I think it's a commitment level. And I was... last night on the game, they were talking about the coach and how Mark is a stickler to details. and most coaches are. And I think the key is, do the players want to listen? You know, are they mature enough to listen? And this is a young team. And sometimes that might be good, you know, like, because they're more like college players in terms of their enthusiasm, their togetherness. You know, you see them all the post-game interviews whenever, you know, SGA is being interviewed, which he's usually the one being interviewed after the game. The whole team huddles around him. And so they, I think, are, you know, I say this as a coach, listening is a talent, like running and jumping. And when you get your best players committed to listening and doing the right thing, then it'd be, you know, that's more than half the battle. So what I've seen them do is just really smother, you know, it's almost like when Edwards has the ball at the top of the key, they're almost like in a 1-2-2 zone and forcing him to pass. And you can see his body language, he gets very frustrated and, you know, passes it and, you know, seems to, I hate to say, sulk a little bit. You know, I think his maturity level needs to improve. And so they force you to work and get really, you know, tougher shots. I don't think Minnesota had a real post-up game where, you know, their ball is penetrated in two ways, either dribble penetration or via the pass. And they really lacked the post-up game. And I think Oklahoma City exposed that.
Matt, you talked about listening as a skill, and I'm just going to be brutally honest here. Like, if I'm SGA, like, he's got a $295 million Supermax extension waiting for him. Like, if I were him and I were, like, a bad guy, like, I probably wouldn't listen to anybody. But it just sounds like he's, like, dialed in. He gets it. Like, how is it, like, when guys are, like, have these huge guaranteed deals, how do you get some of them to listen? Because some of them might just see those dollar signs and feel like, I don't have to listen to what my coach is saying. I've got $200 million in the bank.
Yeah. What did you say? No, that was a joke.
Yes.
That
was a joke. I got it. Yeah, sorry. I got it.
I was hoping to sleep. It took me a second.
He went to Metallica concert last night. He's got 3 hours sleep.
That was my Long Island humor.
Yeah.
That is why Sam Presti, the GM, is really good at what he does, and his background is the Spurs. And when you look at the Spurs, you draft character as much as talent, because you know that when they get paid, you know, their true colors are going to show up. And I think that I worked for the Pacers for 4 years. And then, you know, coaching college basketball, and remember working for Roy Williams, and we talked about character wins championships. You can have the most talented team. I say this as an executive coach. Talent, systems, and culture. Every organization has the organizational triangle. Talent at the top, systems, and culture at the bottom. And you can have great systems and great talent, but if you have a bad culture, you're not going to win. And we have seen teams in all kinds of sports with average talent, average systems, great culture, and win. And I think what we're seeing with Oklahoma City, they have great talent. They have great systems because they have a terrific young coach, and they have an elite culture. And that's what makes them so dangerous.
Coach, you coached in, you know, 10 or 11 years in college, but what would you have said to Julius Randle last night when Alex Caruso picks him at half court and Julius Randle doesn't take one step to try and go down the court and defend an easy dunk from SGA because there was nobody from Minnesota down there to try and stop it. And Julius Randle just turned Julius Randle turns his back on it on the play and starts complaining. What would you say to that?
Well, that goes back to the character thing, you know. And I try to recruit Julius. I was at SMU. He's from Dallas.
Right.
I saw him a lot in high school. He went to a good school. I think he's a good guy. I had a problem. I think it was last night's game. He went on set and did an interview while the rest of his player teammates are warming up. Like, you know, I mean, where's your head? I mean, that to me is, I don't know if I'm doing an interview on the set of ABC while my teammates are warming up. So, you know, you saw that with Edwards too. You know, they complained a lot. They whined a lot. That's just part of the character thing, the immaturity that is showing up. Alex Caruso, I saw him in high school. I didn't think he was good enough to play in the Big 12.
Wow.
I saw him in college, obviously at A&M. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he was good enough to be a real impactful college player. I no way did I think the guy could play in the NBA. And what does he do? What is he all about? He's about character. That's his best skill, his character. He is tough. He doesn't give in. He dives on loose balls. He guards Jokic, Jokic in the previous series. The guy does whatever it takes to win, and he improved. He improved his shooting. That used to be a big liability when he was in high school and college. And so, those are the things I'm talking about, is drafting and attracting character, players with talent, but extreme character. And the culture, I say this all the time, culture is king. And the culture at Oklahoma City is elite. The culture at Minnesota, I don't know what goes on in the locker room, but I don't like Anthony Edwards' comments after games. Like his headline quote was, they wanted it more than us. Mm-hmm. What?
Right.
Like what? And so I think he's throwing shade on the coach. Like after the last game or one of the previous games, says, I didn't get enough shots. Well, whose fault is that?
Right. Yeah. We did talk about Michael Jordan.
I never heard Michael Jordan ever say that.
Let's move over to the other series. You surprised that Indiana's up 3-1.
Gosh, man. When you see Indiana, like, they won more games on the road than they won home, I think, in the playoffs. It's really uncanny. I bet you it has the bookies all screwed up, right? Mm-hmm. Because you think that there is a home court advantage and you should have be favored, and all of a sudden the whole series and, the Knicks go and take a game in Indianapolis, first time they've ever done that in the history of the organization in the playoffs. That series is really like a fist fight. And the Knicks may win tonight, but I don't think they win the series. I think that everything the Knicks get is hard. Like Jalen Brunson, okay, this is why I probably wasn't very good as a talent evaluator. I didn't think he played the NBA. Mm. Here's a guy who looks like he's 6 foot tall, not very fast, okay quickness. He's an all-star. However, everything he does is hard. And when the Pacers can put Naismith on him, who's an elite defender, bigger, stronger, and fighting over screens. So everything Brunson does is hard. I think that the Knicks, every shot, I look at quality of shots, not necessarily if they go in or not. As a coach, we used to grade possessions. Even if you missed a shot, it might have been a possession because you got a wide open jumper, right? So they're like scoring off of sea level quality shots, contested jump shots, runners, turnaround jumpers with a hand over hand in your face. Where the Pacers get easier shots, I think they're a little like Pascal Siakam. He can get a good shot whenever he wants because he's so long. He can create space. Halliburton, long, can create some space. Miles Turner, who has an incredible three-point shot for a seven-footer. So I think they get easier looks, and at the end of the day, that's what's going to take down the Knicks.
Matt, I wanted to ask you kind of just your thoughts on the scope of college basketball now. And when you were a coach, I think you stopped coaching in 2012. I could be wrong on that year.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. I was forced to stop coaching.
Right. In 2012. I get you. But now 13 years later, Matt, all right. And look, you played in the ACC for 4 years. You played with some great teams, won a national championship, obviously played with great players. But 13 years later, after your last year at SMU, how different the game is. Could you see yourself coaching now, dealing with NIL, dealing with the portal, dealing with all of the other distractions now? Yeah. Could you see yourself doing it?
I'm kind of glad. I remember this goes back in 2012 when I 2013 I was doing a game at for ESPN at Florida. Billy Donovan was the coach, and Billy came up to me and says, "Matt, you should be glad you're out of it." Mm-hmm. He said, "Even the good kids want something."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know, fast forward now a lot of that's legal, right? Now you can pay kids and do things, but it's crazier. And basketball, coaching basketball is my drug. I'm in rehab, you know, like I'm in coaching anonymous, like Alcoholics Anonymous. And so, you know, I'm in a good place because I'm an executive coach. I still coach. I'm still fulfilling my purpose. But I'm not dealing with the NIL, parents, agents. You know, every player has an agent, and you have to go through the agent. And there's no... The problem is the leadership of the NCAA. When Mark Emmert left, he basically crapped the bed and just gave them everything. Like, finally succumbed to the pressure, public pressure, of giving players the transfer option and paying them. And then he left. There was no structure to it. And so when you look at these articles now in football and basketball, especially with the college coaches, they want structure. I think we all agree the players should get something, and that's actually good for basketball because players stay around longer. Like at North Carolina, Baycott and R.J. Davis. If they weren't getting paid, they wouldn't have stayed, yet they weren't good enough to play in the NBA. Right. Like Baycott's not in the NBA.
Right, right.
Or if he is, he's the last man on the bench.
Do you still live in the Carolina area?
Yes, I live in North Carolina.
Gotcha.
Matt,
so it's just there's no off season, and the hardest thing and the most frustrating thing for me as a coach is, you know, I like to create a good culture and have intricate systems. Talk about, you know, your organizational triangle, the systems and culture. You can't have intricate systems now because you have to dummy down the game because you only have the players for several months, right? And how can you create an elite culture in several months with players that are sitting next to each other? One knows that, hey, you're getting $1 million. I'm getting 400. I'm better than you. Uh-huh. Now, that happens in the NBA all the time. But it takes an elite leader as a coach to manage those egos. And that's why Kelvin Sampson is doing an amazing job at Houston.
Matt, thanks for the time, man. We always appreciate it. It's Matt Doherty, former Tar Heels coach. Thanks again. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Of course, yep, buddy.
Do appreciate it. Don't forget, coming up in the next hour, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Post Malone and Jelly Roll at Northwest Stadium. So keep listening for your chance.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Win. So Valdez is playing Hero of the Day by Metallica, mm-hmm. and because I was privy to the set list that Gabe Harris gave me like before the show started, Metallica does a thing where they ID a song by like one name. So it'll be like for Seek and Destroy, it'll just be Seek, or for Whom the Bell Tolls, it'll be Bells. So about halfway through the list, I saw Day. So I was like, oh, they're going to play Hero of the Day, which is a great kind of slept on Metallica tune. Turns out that wasn't the case. Now they played another good tune, The Day That Never Comes, which is really good. But in my Metallica tunes with Day in the title rankings, Hero of the Day would go above The Day That Never Comes. But that's me being very persnickety about the set list from last night, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
Just chock full of Metallica standards and bangers throughout. So that's me being a little bit of a set list diva.
I'm jealous.
That's all.
I've never gone to see Metallica. Now, I'm not a metalhead.
Yeah.
I grew up and you would bring over your music
mm-hmm.
when we were having ping pong battles.
Yeah.
And I learned to like some of the music that you were listening
sure.
to, from Rat to Metallica. But I never went to any of their shows.
Yeah.
I will say, when we were part of WHFS and going to festivals, of all the acts that I saw, I was always most impressed by Godsmack. And I wasn't even kind of like that familiar with them. And Godsmack is kind of a harder,
sure,
maybe not as hard as Metallica, hard but a harder. Acts.
They're in that same vein. Yeah. Look, we just talked to Mo from Largo, who a buddy said, "Hey, let's go to the Metallica show."
Yeah,
and he went and he had a great time.
Yep,
he enjoyed himself.
So, I still feel bad that I didn't go to the Metallica show down at Virginia Tech, but I told you why.
Right.
Because my daughter was just to be there with her would have been really cool.
Yeah.
So go do a Fleetwood Mac show.
But, well, I mean, Fleetwood Mac ain't.
Yeah, I don't think they're currently touring. Yeah,
didn't you go to a Fleetwood Mac? Never,
you could see Stevie Nicks.
Didn't you go see a cover band or something?
Yes. And you know what? That was very cool.
I'm sure it was great.
But last night, you got treated like a VIP. I mean, Gabe Harris took care of you.
I literally got treated like a king.
Yeah. But you're going to go to, are you going to take a nap today and then go to bed early tonight? Or are you going to just power through it and just go to bed early?
The nap is a lock.
All right, yeah.
I don't know about, I always talk about going to bed early.
And it just never happens.
I'm like, I'm going to go to bed at 8:30. I never do.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, I'm up at 9:45 watching WSOP highlights.
Right.
I was going to say, you're not watching Stars versus Oilers.
No.
He ain't doing that.
Couldn't care less about. Now, I kind of would like to see McDavid win a cup, but honestly, like,
if he definitely doesn't want to see Florida win a cup.
No
chance you want to see that.
I don't want to see the Panthers win more Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
It's like the last thing I want to see. Wanted to bring up this story about men revealing the reason they spend millions of dollars on OnlyFans. And the answer may shock you, that guys are dropping huge sums of money just to have simple conversations with OnlyFans women. Like,
just talk about life? Well, what are they talking about?
Here are some of the lists of what men talk about with OnlyFans models. Their hometown and upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
Work to brag or vent about their work. Hobbies like gaming, cooking, and sports. They want to talk to these hotties about their pets. That's four on the list.
So you're telling me that guys are basically having dates with OnlyFans models, right, but just via the phone?
Sophie Rain is a highly paid OnlyFans model. Her top fan, his name is Charlie, a married American man. He has shelled out, according to the story, over $6 million
over a
two-year span, but he rarely asks for nude pics of her. Her quote is, quote, "We talk every single day without fail. Charlie, who is married, will send voice notes wondering how my day is going, and he loves getting to know me on a personal level."
Well, I'm more of an
emotional support system for him.
That's just the OnlyFans models finding big fish.
I mean, could you imagine?
There's stupid big fish out there.
All right, yeah. So are these guys paying to have the conversation?
I'm sure they are.
Is this a conversation an accessory to paying for the person's content?
No. Usually DMs are extra, from what I've been told.
Oh, the DMs are extra. Okay.
Well, do you leave a tip? How does it work? Isn't there a monthly subscription?
Look, I've never joined an OnlyFans, so I don't know. But a lot of them are free to join. You'll see them post that, like, on Twitter. Join my free OnlyFans. But to do get, like, any access, you can join for free, but to get any pictures or DMs or anything, then you have to pay a la carte.
Oh, okay.
So you're paying $1 a message.
Whatever.
Or $5 a message.
Or it might be like $30 for the month. It gets you this. $50 gets you this.
Look, there's just some people out there that have ridiculous money, like this guy who can spend $5 million or whatever you said on OnlyFans, and maybe they're socially challenged to some extent, and they get the thrill of speaking to a ridiculously hot OnlyFans model.
Trap T-shirt. If you're interested, I remember I got this during Secret Santa. I think this is like 25.
Man, you are a hoarder.
25 or 50 bucks of OnlyFans. I've saved this in case of a show emergency, in case anybody needs it. Mike Marr, if you're interested in shooting your shot, maybe you need this login information.
Yeah, before you leave today, why don't you just put that on that chair?
I have not used it, so I'm certainly happy to pay it forward.
Do you have somebody in mind, Mike Marr, if you had free access to their OnlyFans?
No, I was just joking. But I don't know why you'd want to like talk to these airhead broads just about their day.
Broads.
That's so funny.
I mean, obviously they have a different mission and like their end goal. So I don't know.
Maybe they aren't airheads. They're the ones that are cleaning up, making millions.
Why don't you bring that gift certificate in here, Kay? Because I know a couple guys that
I will certainly pass it on.
Have their eye out for a certain model.
Yeah.
It's, by the way, the world's worst gift certificate. It's just a piece of paper.
It's just a piece of paper with just scraggly writing on it.
I mean, it's a notch above a napkin.
Look at this nonsense.
You actually think that works?
Well, somebody's going to find out. Somebody's going to put in these credentials and see if it works.
Who gave you that? Was that Valdez's bit?
I can't even remember.
No, it was a listener.
I think it was a listener. Just came up and dropped it like on the table as we were broadcasting.
Listeners giving the guys gifts. That was one of the gifts.
Because that's the our favorite part of every...
I just know if I was paying someone to listen to my conversations, I would probably get right to the point. I wouldn't dilly-dally around and ask them how their day was.
Yeah.
I wonder how long these conversations are.
I mean, if they're charging a la carte, my guess is the girl wants them to go as long as possible.
Yeah.
Oh, they get charged by the minute?
Yeah, if you're charging by the minute or you're charging by the message.
But the article says that a lot of these guys are married with kids, and they don't talk to their wives anymore. They're in bad marriages, and they're just looking for companionship. So the girls will sit there and like watch a football game.
Yeah, this Brazilian woman said, "I do tasks that average wives often prefer to avoid. Like watching a football match on television without complaining." I think she's talking about European football, a.k.a. Right.
I understand.
Soccer.
Once I heard match, I got it. I don't know. I wonder how many people. I know they found a couple people for the article, but I wonder how many people are really doing that.
Who knows?
I don't. Now, maybe people keep this private. I don't know if any of my friends have ever been on OnlyFans.
It's a great question.
I might start asking.
It's a great question.
I mean, maybe they're not going to say something.
They may not tell you. Yeah,
that's true.
They may be embarrassed and they would just never tell you.
I know this guy that shelled out over $6 million over 2 years. He has way more money than he has common sense.
Correct. But you're probably right, though, Jason, because obviously OnlyFans is flourishing. And we've heard some statistics about the amount of women that are creators making all this money on OnlyFans. So there's got to be a huge market out there.
Of course.
So probably a bunch of my friends.
I mean, the last thing I would tell you guys is I'm on OnlyFans.
Right.
I mean, the last thing I'll tell.
Yeah, because if you told us that, Joan Fest forever.
Of course.
Now to eternity.
Of course.
If that would happen.
That's the last thing I would say. So I guarantee you have friends, and I'm sure 100%. I do too, that are on OnlyFans.
But I mean, right now, if you include the three guys behind the glass and the three guys in this studio, all of us would say, none of us have been on OnlyFans.
Right. Well, all of us, some of us might be liars. We don't know.
Lie detector test.
How would we find
just
out?
Just on that question.
All right, when we come back, we will get into Cakes' entertainment page. And before the show is done, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Post Malone at Northwest Stadium. So keep listening.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.